If you would, turn your Bibles to Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6 in the Old Testament. And if you don't have a Bible today, that's okay. We have a pew Bible right there in front of you. And if you would, if you in the pew Bible, you can turn to page 928. And that'll take you right to Daniel chapter 6, where we'll be this morning. You know, this is a, I'm going to be honest with you, a message that cut to my heart first and foremost. And I brought this message to our teens several weeks ago. We were going through the book of Daniel, and I thought it was important enough to bring to the church. Maybe it was because of the conviction it brought in my own life, dealing with this thing of contentment. But you know, Daniel chapter 6, it's a popular story. In fact, if you've been over to our children's building next door, the education building, and you'll see all the beautiful murals that have been painted by people in the church, there's a depiction in there of Daniel in the lion's den. And it comes right here from Daniel chapter 6. And a lot of times when you hear somebody teach on Daniel chapter 6, they really focus on Daniel's life and his faithfulness, how he was faithful to pray to God. And that's what led him into the lion's den because of the decree that was made. But I want to take a little different angle on it today, this morning. And I want to talk about being content to be faithful. You know, we live in a world that today makes it real hard to be content. You could even look at things as simple as advertisements, and it challenges you in your content or your ability to be content. I want to read this is something that a gentleman has written. This is not my words. Somebody this morning, there's a statement in here about he has four kids. Somebody came up after church and said, "You guys had another child?" No, this is not my story, okay? This is one that a gentleman had written about struggling with contentment because of the world that he lives in. And he says, "I sat down and looked through some magazines this past week. I discovered that if I want to feel right, I need to get a Nordic track. I don't have a Nordic track, just a membership down at the gym. So I suddenly realized that I don't feel as healthy as I thought I did. I then read that if I wanted to be stylish, I needed to buy a Toyota Camry. Our family van was in the shop, and I was driving our old Mercury Sable. That felt bad enough, and real men supposedly drive SUVs or bright red sports cars. I've got four kids, so I don't have the luxury of driving what real men drive. So I found out that I couldn't be stylish with the cars that we owned. I then saw that if I wanted to really feel the spring season, I had to dress for the spring season, and the only place to do that was at Dillard's. I knew I wouldn't have time or the chance to go to Dillard's this week, so suddenly the beautiful weather just didn't seem that beautiful. I just wasn't dressed for it. It didn't get any better. I learned that I needed to be opening my mail with a knife from Oneida. I only had a $2 letter opener from Office Depot. Now even my mail was disappointing. On top of that, I discovered that I couldn't have a good meal if I wasn't in Texas. At least not a meal that would satisfy me. So much for lean cuisine. Then I read that if I wanted to be a man, at least a manlier man than my neighbor, I had to drive a Yardman mower with a Briggs & Stratton engine. At least it's cheaper than the SUV. I liked my house until I saw the new developments ad. I thought my family and I were close until I realized we didn't have season passes to the amusement park. I even thought I loved my wife, but since I hadn't bought her a diamond necklace from the jewelry store, I was informed that I didn't. I found out that I can't even be romantic with my wife unless we use Sylvania light bulbs. Wouldn't you know it, we have GE. By the time I got finished with those magazines, I just got depressed. I needed counseling. Have you ever felt that way? Where you thought that you had things that you needed and whatnot, and then all of a sudden an ad pops up and tells you that really you're lacking because you don't have this. Or your neighbor has this, which if you had that too, then you would feel content. And so we've always kind of strived for contentment in this society, in this life that we live in. But what is contentment? I want you to look at your handout there at the top of your handout, and you'll see it says, contentment is the resting or satisfaction of mind without anxiety. It's the point where we become at rest with the life that we have, the things that we have, and there's no longer a stress or an anxiety to try to gain more. It's rest or satisfaction of the mind without anxiety. You know, don't get me wrong. There are some things in life that we should not be content with. Our prayer life is one. We should never be content with our prayer life. We should always be striving to have a deeper, more personal prayer life with the Lord. We should never be content with our Bible knowledge. We should always be striving to grow more in God's Word and learn and understand God's Word better. So there's some things that we definitely don't need to be content with, but when it comes to the things of this world, we need to understand the importance of being content. Well, that's going to be tough because as you see in your handout, it says we live in a world system that refuses to be content with being faithful. You know, you could just take the time to look around and notice that the divorce rate is at 50%, nearly 50%. Why? People struggle to be content. People struggle with contentment in their life, and therefore, we see the divorce rate that high. You know, I believe that contentment really is one of the greatest causes of sin in our life. I think about the Garden of Eden, where Adam and Eve were in that garden, and there was one thing that they couldn't do, and you know what? They weren't content with the fact of everything else they had. There was one thing that they couldn't have, and they wanted that. See, contentment always seems to be behind, or a lack of contentment, I'm sorry, seems to be behind the motivation many times of our sin. Well, here in Daniel chapter 6, Daniel knew what it meant to be content. He was recognized as content by those around him. And it didn't seem to matter what position Daniel was in, whether he was on a mountain or in a valley, he was still content to be faithful. Daniel knew what it meant. He was taken captive by a Gentile nation with the rest of the children of Israel, but he still was content. He was content with God and content to follow Him. And I believe here that we have a wonderful picture of what a child of God who is faithful, what they can do to influence the lives of others. You know, with Daniel, and we're not going to go through the entire thing, but back in Daniel chapter 1, it was King Nebuchadnezzar that was the first king that Daniel really became kind of under the authority of. And you know, it wasn't long that King Nebuchadnezzar recognized Daniel's God and Daniel's faithfulness. Daniel had an impact on him. Here we're going to see with King Darius that Daniel had an impact on this Gentile king because of his faithfulness to his God and his willingness to not waver in his life of being a servant for God. And it says in your handout this morning that every Christian should be content with just following the Lord. Many times we allow things in our life that disrupt that contentment of just following the Lord, and we get off track. I think about what Pastor Dan's been preaching the past couple of weeks and how sometimes there's things in this life and in this world that steal our heart from Jesus Christ. And many times that is because we're not content with a situation or something that we have in our life. And we take our focus off the Lord to try to seek contentment in something else. Well, I want to bring three things out of this text in Daniel chapter 6 this morning. And it says in your handout, why should you be content with following the things of God in your life? We're here at church this morning, and the question ought to be, why should I be content with the things of God in my life? Why should I? Well, number one, I want us to see from Daniel. First, it's because a content person is able to be used by God. My prayer is that everybody in here has a desire to be used by God. And that's only going to come when you're content with the life that you have and not looking for other things. You know, here in Daniel chapter 6, I want us to start in verse 1. Notice Daniel's position and the position of the men around him. It says, it pleased Darius to set over the kingdom 120 princes, which should be over the whole kingdom, and over these three presidents, of whom Daniel was first, that the princes might give accounts unto them, and the king should have no damage. Then this Daniel was preferred above the presidents and princes, because an excellent spirit was in him, and the king thought to set him over the whole realm. See, Daniel's representation, Daniel's testimony, Daniel's desire to be faithful promoted him to be the number one guy under the king. Here was a child of Israel taken captive by a Gentile king, and now this Gentile king promotes him to just under the king in rank, one of the presidents, and the president of the three. Well, these others weren't content with their position, but Daniel was. And even when Daniel was a prisoner and taken captive, and we can go back to Daniel chapter 1, he was still content to just follow God regardless of the situation. It didn't seem to matter what trial or what situation Daniel was in, he was still content to serve as God. You know, we see here, I think, a good example of what happens when teenagers, when you're in school, college students, when you're in college, in class, singles, single adults, couples, at work, wherever we are, we're on display around other people. People take note of the character and the life that you live, and they either see a hypocritical Christian or they see a Christian who's content to be faithful in serving their Lord. And Daniel's example was recognized by even the king and gave him a position because of that. My question to us would be is, how many people in our workplace, how many people in our school, in our class, would recognize us as somebody who is faithful to their Lord, is loving like their Lord, and a good representation of their Lord, enabling them to have more opportunities to be used of God because of their character, because of their faithfulness? It was Daniel's focus and faithfulness to the Lord that enabled him to be used of God and given this position just under the king. It says in your handout that it's every person's tendency to desire more in life than what they already have. This is the problem that we face. So many of us aren't content with the life that we have, and we're seeking for other things, that we miss opportunities to be used by God because we're focused on something else. There's a story about a fisherman. And the fisherman was sitting there on the shore, leaning up against his boat, real lazy-like, you know, just relaxing. And this rich entrepreneur type, this rich man comes by, and he sees the fisherman sitting there against the boat, looking out the ocean. And he asks him, he says, "Sir, what are you doing? Why aren't you out catching fish?" And the fisherman looked at him, and he said, "Well, I've already caught all the fish that I need." And the rich man kind of puzzled. He said, "But you could go out and catch more fish." And the young man, the fisherman, looked at him and said, "What would I do with them?" And the rich man said, "You could go sell them." The fisherman said, "Why do I need to go sell them?" He said, "Then you can have the money to buy a bigger boat. You can have the money to buy nylon cast nets. You could go out deeper. You could catch more fish and make more money." The fisherman looked at the rich man and he asked him, "Then what?" Rich man said, "Well, then once you have all of that, you have all the money, then you can sit back and you can relax." Fisherman looked up at the rich man and said, as he looked out over the ocean, "I already have all that." He was content with what he had and wasn't looking for the next level, the next step. He recognized that where he was. And you know what? When we recognize that the things that we have are enough, the simplicity that we can have in our life will enable us to be used by God more because we have more time. You know, that rich man was so consumed with more money that he didn't recognize what it took to run more boats, to fish more often, and how all that time would be consumed and not be able to really be used for the Lord. And it says in your handout that people who are discontent seek to fill their time with their own wants and desires, while others who are content with their life have more time to look for ways to be used by God. You see, when we find our place of contentment, we find that we have more time to be used by God, whether it be up at the church or helping out a friend in need or whatever the case may be. We have the ability to look for ways to be used of God because we're not so consumed with the things of this world. You know, Paul wrote to Timothy in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 6, on your handout, if you would, get that out. I want us to read this together. Paul wrote to Timothy here in the first letter, chapter 6, verse 6, a verse that I think we can all take to heart and apply to our life and realize the power behind these few words of this verse. Let's read it together. Ready? "But godliness with contentment is great gain." There's two things I want you to notice. First, you can circle the word "with" because it's godliness mingled with contentment. He didn't just say godliness is great gain or contentment is great gain. He said godliness with contentment is great gain. But then I underlined on mine great gain. I need to understand what great gain is. Did Paul mean that godliness with contentment was going to afford me the riches of this world and great wealth? No. See, the Apostle Paul knew what great gain truly was. In fact, in your handout in Philippians chapter 4, here's a a verse that he wrote to this church at Philippi. And he says in Philippians 4, verse 1, "Therefore, my brethren, dearly beloved and longed for." And what's the next phrase? "My what? My joy and crown." He says, "You're my joy and my crown. So stand fast in the Lord, my dearly beloved." Paul recognized that the investment that he made in others was where true gain and riches were. It wasn't in wealth and what he had and possessions. True wealth was in the rewards that came from impacting the lives of others as God used him to reach those people. Because he had the time to do it, because he was content with the life that he had. Daniel was content to be a child of Israel and serving God regardless of the position that he was in. And it enabled him to be used by God in many ways and even influence and impact the kings themselves of these Gentile nations. You know, when we realize that wealth is not found in the things of this world, but it's found in the lives that God is able to touch through us, the material possessions of the world don't seem much more than trash. And so we have more time when we're content to be used of God. But number two, second reason that we need to be content in our life to follow the Lord is because it will keep you from developing a jealous heart. It'll keep you from developing a jealous heart. Now, this is where the story of Daniel chapter 6 gets ugly. Because we've got these men that were not content to be as powerful as they already were. There was one guy above them, and they didn't like it. And so they set out to plot a scheme against Daniel to have him killed. In verse 4, it says, in Daniel chapter 6, "Then the presidents and princes sought to find occasion against Daniel concerning the kingdom." But notice this, "But they could find none occasion nor fault. For as much as he was faithful, neither was there any error or fault found in him. Then said these men, we shall not find any occasion against this Daniel, except we find it against him concerning the law of his God. Then these presidents and princes assembled together, and assembled together to the king and said unto him, King Darius, live forever. All the presidents of the kingdom, the governors and the princes, the counselors and the captains have counseled together to establish a royal statute and to make a firm decree that whosoever shall ask a petition of any god or man for 30 days, save of thee, O king, he shall be cast into the den of lions. Now, O king, establish the decree and sign it, sign the writing, that it may not be changed, according to the law of the Medes and the Persians, which altereth not." These men came to the king and they said, "Look, king, you shouldn't have anybody ask a petition of any god or any man except for you." They were seeking to get Daniel because they knew Daniel's testimony and his faithfulness to pray to God. They knew that they could catch him by praying to his God instead of the king. And so they convinced the king to set this decree so that they could bring Daniel to the king because they wanted to wipe Daniel out because they didn't like the fact that he was above them. Here was guys that were already presidents, already princes, already in power over all these other people in the land. They're right there with the king, and they weren't content. They wanted more. And so they sought to kill Daniel. I've got to tell you that one way to become the best is to eliminate those around you. However, it's going to leave you a very lonely person. Because there's always going to be somebody better. And by the time you eliminate everybody around you, whether you run them off as a friend or you they don't want to be around you anymore because of the way that you treat them, you wind up a very lonely individual. But notice the jealousy here in the heart of these men and what it results in. And it says in your handout that a jealous heart is the root of anger. A jealous heart is the root of anger. In Proverbs 6, verse 34, "For jealousy is the rage of a man. Therefore, he will not spare in the day of vengeance." You know, whenever you see a person just in uncontrollable anger, many times it's the result of jealousy. Didn't get what they wanted. Somebody else had something that they desired. And they can't control their rage. and it becomes ugly. In Proverbs 27:4, it says, wrath is cruel and anger is outrageous. But who is able to stand before envy? Jealousy. Man, it's powerful. Jealousy is a powerful thing that Satan can use in your life to hinder you from being used of God. These men were jealous. When you see somebody in the world that seems always to be mad at somebody or the world, many times it's because there's a jealous heart, a root of jealousy there. I want you to notice in your handout, though, it says if a jealous heart is not corrected, it will lead to major consequences. You know, there's a story about two eagles. One eagle could fly way, 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 way up in the sky. The other eagle, not so high. So one day, that eagle that couldn't fly so high saw a sportsman out in the woods. And the guy was there with his bow and arrow. The eagle flew down, and he told the sportsman, he said, look at that eagle way up there. Man, wouldn't you like to shoot that eagle? The sportsman said, sure, the only problem is I have no feathers for my arrow. Eagle said, no problem. He plucked out a couple of feathers out of his wing, gave them to the sportsman. He drew back, let the arrow go, and he missed the eagle. Eagle said, well, shoot him again. He said, I have no more feathers for my arrows. Well, here, I'll give you a couple more. Well, you know, by the time that eagle lost all of his feathers, the sportsman, all they had to do was turn around, and then he drew back and killed the eagle that had no feathers. All because of jealousy, that eagle put himself in a position that he never intended to be in. The consequences of his jealous heart wound up resulting in his life ending. And you know what? It's much the same that we see here in Daniel chapter 6. I want us to fast forward to the end of Daniel chapter 6 and see what happens. Daniel makes it through the lion's den. He does get thrown in the lion's den because he continues to be faithful and pray to his God. But in Daniel chapter 6, I want you to look at verse 24. And the king commanded, and they brought those men which had accused Daniel, and they cast them into the den of lions. Them, their children, their wives, and the lions had the mastery of them, and break all their bones in pieces, or ever they came at the bottom of the den. Those men that sought to have a position above Daniel or like Daniel lost their life, and guess what? It also affected the family. It affected the wives. It affected the children because of their jealous heart. See, jealousy comes with some pretty high consequences. These men paid with their life. And a jealous heart will always distract you from following God's word and seeking to please Him. We've got to learn how to be content, prevent jealousy, avoid disaster. But number three, the third reason that we need to be content to just follow the Lord is because it will help you to make it through the tough times. Daniel was content when things were good, and he was content even when they were bad. Daniel knew that if he had prayed to his God, he knew what the consequences were going to be. Look at verse 10, Daniel chapter 6. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, notice what he did. He went into his house, and the windows being opened in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Daniel knew what it was going to mean to continue to pray to God, but he was content to be faithful. Whatever was going to happen, he was content with that. And so to kind of summarize what takes place, these men catch Daniel as they knew they would because they knew his testimony. And then they bring Daniel to the king. The king has to keep his word, so he sends Daniel to the den of lions. And the king at this point is upset. He realizes what's happened, that he's been tricked. And he does not want Daniel, who is his first in line as president, to be devoured by the lions. And so, look at verse 16. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den. And the king sealed it with his own signet and with the signet of his lords, that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Now get the picture. Here was Daniel being sent into this den of lions. And these lions weren't you know, like well cared for, fed on a regular basis to where they could probably just kind of let Daniel be probably. These lions were set for a purpose of executing. And so Daniel was being sent into that den. I don't know about you, but I'm pretty sure that if I was sent into a den of lions like that, I'm not going to go in peaceably. I'm going to probably fight, scream, kick, and do all I can to run. Well, Daniel doesn't do that. Daniel heads into that den of lions. We have no record of Daniel trying to fight or get out of it. He goes, submitting, being content to be faithful to his God and serve the Lord. And I believe that it was Daniel's faithfulness and his contentment that enabled him to walk into that den calmly, trusting that the Lord would keep the lions from devouring him. You know, I think God was able to shut the mouths of those lions, as Daniel gives a testimony to. If you go over to verse 21, the king calls out to ask Daniel if he's okay the next day. The king couldn't sleep much. He was up all night. He was worried about Daniel. And he goes and he asks for Daniel, "Are you okay?" And verse 21, "Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever. My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lion's mouths. And they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt." God was able to shut the mouths of those lions because Daniel went in faithful and content, at peace, at rest, to serve God whether it was a good time or a bad time. And it says in your handout that faithfulness and contentment will enable you to endure the tough times that the world's going to bring. Think that den of lions would have eaten up Daniel had he gone in screaming and fighting. I believe that had he gone in and made a loud ruckus, those lions would have just came right to him. But he went in peaceably, allowing God to shut the mouths of those lions. And you know, we live in a world today with many lions, though we're not talking about physical lions. And it says in your handout that many Christians are devoured by lions of power, position, popularity, and so much more, because they're not content with their lives. Others are content with living lives for Christ. And because of their contentment, they are able to avoid falling into the gap or the grasps of those lions. The Apostle Paul talks about this over in 2 Timothy chapter 2. If you want to flip over there real quickly in the New Testament, 2 Timothy chapter 2. The Apostle Paul talks about the things of this world, the things that entangle us, the lions, so to speak, of this world that capture us. And it says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4, "No man that warreth entangleth himself with the affairs of this life." Why? Why would a man not get mixed up into the things of life to where he becomes discontent with what he has and who he is? Why? Paul says in verse 4, "that he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier, to bring honor and glory to God." I need to be content no matter what my situation. I know times right now in these, you know, in America with the economy the way it is, it'd be real easy to be discontent, mad and angry. But why not be content that my salvation doesn't rest on the country's finances? My salvation doesn't rest on who's the president of the United States. My salvation and my position with Christ only rests solely on what the God of this world did when he came and he gave his life, shedding his own blood on the cross in my place for my sins. I can be content with anything else that happens, knowing that whatever happens, the Lord is on my side and I'll be with him for eternity. That's where contentment comes in. Not in my position, my popularity, my power. Daniel, in Daniel's life, was recorded for us because he was faithful. And he was faithful because he was content to be a child of God no matter what came into his life. And I believe that had Daniel not been that way, we wouldn't have the book of Daniel. God would not have been able to use Daniel had he not had that contentment and that faithfulness. In the bottom of your handout, it says, "You will only find contentment by making the choice to live with the mind of Christ." To live with the mind of Christ. Contentment is said to be humility without external honor. And before you pack up, I want you to flip back. If you're in 2 Timothy, I want you to just go back a couple of books to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2. I want you to see what humility does. when you're content. When you're content and humility is able to be viewed by God as something much more valuable than what this world sees. In verse 5, he says, "Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus, who being in the form of God, thought it not robbery to be equal with God, but made himself of no reputation and took upon him the form of a servant, and was made in the likeness of men. And being found in fashion as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross." And you know what that led to? Verse 9, "Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him and given him a name which is above every name." It was humility that enabled Christ to be exalted, because it was humility that allowed Christ to be content to do the will of the Father. Church, today, it needs to be humility that enables us to be content to do the will of God and follow His Word. Regardless of the situation and the circumstances we follow, let us be like Daniel and content to serve the Lord regardless. Be faithful so that God can use us in a mighty way. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you so much for this day, and thank you for this time this morning, Lord, that we have to come and to learn from your word. And Lord, I pray now, God, that if there's some here that today are struggling with this thing of contentment, that, Lord, they would just lay it aside and realize that the things of this world aren't going to gain us any favor or any position in your eyes. The only thing, Lord, that gains us anything with you is what we did with Jesus Christ. And I pray that we would, Lord, today be content to know that you came and you gave your life for us.